I say unto you, take no thought for your life, for your soul, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. It is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment. When I read this group of scripture, I was like, who are they talking to? How are we supposed to go a day without worrying about what we're going to eat, or what we may drink, or what it is we're going to put on? And I was curious, sis, why would they say something like that? And then it hit me. He's not saying don't think about what you need to drink, or don't think about what you need to eat, or don't think about what you need to wear. Don't worry about it. Because if you start worrying about it, it will affect your praise. Everything is, I don't know, Pastor Keys, but it seems like everything is going back to the area of praise. Everything that we do takes us back to an area of praise. Because if anything can stop or shut up your praise, then you lose your conversation with God. And if you lose your conversation with God, eventually you will lose your confidence in Him. And when you lose your confidence in the Lord, you got troubles. So he said, I'm not telling you not to think about it. Sometimes I don't. I just get up and throw stuff on. And when I get to where I'm going, somebody will say, man, you awful wrinkled, Rev. You said it. You told me that. That's why you're looking down. She told me that. She said, you awful wrinkled, bro. That's because I didn't think about it. I just threw something on. So we have to think about it, right, Shell? But not worry about it. Because you can think about something and still offer up God praise. But you have a problem when you start to worry. Now it becomes a sacrifice. And when you get to the place where you have to offer up a sacrifice, then you got some real problems going on in your life. Our praise is supposed to be free and sure and healthy. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? My situation, my problem is pigeons. I don't know if some of y'all real big animal lovers, but I don't like pigeons. I have reason not to like pigeons. Pigeons tear up this roof. Pigeons infest the outside of this tin or whatever this stuff is. Pigeons are everywhere. Sometimes you can walk out in this church and you'll get dive bombed. Because a pigeon will have come through the vents and you're the first thing it sees or hears, and it comes after you. They leave a very big mess. But I was curious. They're always fat and full. And they're always reproducing. Where do they get their food from? How do they stay so thick and plump when nobody's actually feeding them? So I come to the conclusion, Rev, if God can make sure a pigeon is taken care of, and I'm supposed to be much better than he is, what am I worried about? Why am I crying and belly aching? You seen those little birds they let loose? We had that ant thing a couple years back, and they got down on the Renaissance and they turned all these little sparrows or whatever they are. They're not sparrows. They're a crossbreed. They turned them loose thinking that they was going to destroy the ant population, that the flying ants, and they multiply. Now, anytime you might see 50 or 60 of them at one time. So you ask yourself, how are they surviving? What are they eating? Because God's word never falls void. God said, I feeded them. Are ye not much better than they are? Well, you can kind of look at me and see I haven't missed any meals. Don't say nothing. I've missed a few. Not enough. So if God will take care of them, he says, if your heavenly Father feedeth them, are ye not much more better than they? You are much better than they are. Which of you by taking thought can add one cubic? The word cubic means length of time. Can add length, any length of time unto his stature or unto his life. As I have been finding out, life doesn't wait on anybody. It's about God's word. It's unfortunate, but the word of God said it's appointed unto every man to die. We take vitamins, we take medicines, we take all kind of stuff, trying to live longer. But the word says you can't do it. It's appointed on every man to leave here. When it's your time, it's your time. I had a friend who just passed away from cancer. But before he actually passed away, he beat cancer almost four times in four different parts of his body. The last time he had cancer, he lost his nose. But he went on with life just like it didn't even happen. But he had been beating this thing because why? Because it wasn't his time to go. It wasn't that he was doing anything. Well, we say, well, the chemotherapy saved him. Well, fool you on that. We have to put our confidence in God. Our faith has got to be in him. That's who adds time to our life. That's who the length comes from. Look at Pastor Hart. He's about to be 91. Pastor Hart is about to be 91 years old, but his mind is gone. But he's healthy. Well, folks say, well, he took a million vitamins. Brother Hart took 100 vitamins a day. 100 vitamins a day. But it didn't help his mind. Why? Because when God gets ready for us, he's ready for us. You don't know what's going to go, what's going to stay, what's going to get sick, and what's not going to get sick. We don't understand. It seems like we lose the good ones. And we get to keep the crazy ones. Y'all know that's funny. Y'all know y'all got somebody crazy in y'all family. Don't we, Rodney? I'm not talking about you, Rodney. Sis is. Glory to God. I'm almost done, amen. So, and why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. They don't worry, you know. I really can't tell you what that means because some of you women might start throwing stuff at me. It's like a type shadow. It says they don't spin just like women. I don't know what that means, Denise. I'll have to check that out, okay? But they're not moved. Basically, if you ever saw lilies in the field, regardless of what they do, they have the ability to what? Reproduce. Lilies kind of remind me of dandelions. Dandelions can grow anywhere. Dandelions will grow in your sidewalk. They will grow out the side of your house, Brother Joe. They will grow anywhere. I've seen dandelions growing in cars. They grow anywhere because they have a life that can only be controlled by God. If we come to a place where we only allow our lives to be controlled by God, why can't we flourish? Why can't we grow? Why can't we keep making it? Why can't we keep running this race? It's our mindset that's got to change. That's why God has said it's time to simplify. We've got to stop making everything so catastrophic and so hard to deal with and start simplifying things in our lives. Okay, y'all don't hear me. Going on. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which to this day is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Saying, where's your faith? Rebuking fear. Fear is what most of the times keeps us from moving into the blessings of God. But God is saying we shouldn't have any fear. What did it say in Psalms? Though you walk through the shadow of the valley of death, you shall fear no evil. What does evil represent? Not Satan, but it represents things that want to do you harm or stop you from prospering or stop you from being healed or stop you from being delivered or stop you from having peace or having joy in your life, which you so desperately need to make it in this day and age. There are millionaires jumping off of bridges, blowing their brains out. Then their family finds out that they didn't lose the money they thought they lost. Because of our mindsets. So therefore we don't take no thought saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what withal shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth. And you know we do. We all want to be dressed nice and we want to look nice and we want to smell good. Want to wear nice shoes and all this stuff. It's human nature. Folks that don't, something is wrong with their nature. Pastor I used to say. But to simplify it, it just says, but seek ye first. It's a key. It is a key. It's a key that unlocks your blessing. It unlocks your healing. It unlocks your deliverance. It unlocks everything that you've ever thought that you needed from God, because the word of God said God searches the intents of a man's heart. So therefore, God searches your heart. He sees what you have need of. And if you are doing what? If you are seeking him. The word seek doesn't mean that you actually found him, but you're striving to find him. You're looking for him. You're looking for the presence of God. You're looking for the anointing of God. You're running after God. You're seeking him. And when you're seeking him, you find out that a lot of things start going your way. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek first God. Seek first God. If we start seeking first God, I thought by studying to show yourself approved, a workman that needed not be ashamed, Shatavon, that was the way to seek God. No, that's how you find out about God and about yourself. The way to seek God is in your praise. It's in your praise. The word of God says, God inhabit the praise of the people. God will inhabit or assume or manifest himself in your praise. But a lot of times you go through so many things, you don't want to offer up no praise. You might be better than I am, but a lot of times I'd be so stressed out. Make me praise you, Lord. I praised you all day yesterday, and I'm still in trouble. I fasted for 4 or 5 days. It ain't nothing changed. I done studied and I still got situations. But what he said was, if you will simplify the situation, if you seek God first, what he'll do is, in your seeking, you offer up him this praise, not a sacrifice. We are the sacrifice. You offer him up a praise that he's looking for. Tell him how great he is, how powerful he is, how much you adore him, how much you appreciate him. Not, we think praising God is, Lord, I need this, I need that. You got to do this for me, and I got to have that. I can't make it without this. That's not praise. That's called, thank you, ma'am. See, I'm glad you said it first. Now I can say it, begging. I knew she was going to say it. That's why I went back there. But God is looking for somebody that's going to say, Lord, there is hell everywhere, but you're worthy to be praised. I got trouble on every side, but you're worthy to be praised. Lord, my body is broke down, and I don't know if I'm going to be able to get up today. But I'm going to praise you nevertheless, because I know that you're still a healer. I know that you're still a way maker. I know that you're still a deliverer. I know that you're still a life giver. I know that where there seemeth to be no way, you can make a way. So I'm going to give you praise nevertheless. I don't feel like it, but here it is, Lord. So when you do that, God looks at you. He goes, you know what? I like that. I like that. God gets in your praise, and the problems you got no longer seem like problems. Listen to me. They haven't disappeared. They haven't gone anywhere, but they just don't seem as strong, as powerful as they was before you started praising him. Now that you're praising him, the problem is still a problem, but it don't affect you the way it did in the beginning. Now you can look at it and say, you know what, Lord, it's still here, but I can do all things through you that strengtheneth me. Lord God, I know it's still here, but I know if I seek you and you find me, Lord, I know that you will make a way for me. All I got to do is keep giving you this praise. I'm going to praise you with my sore knees, and I'm going to praise you with my sore hands, and I'm going to praise you with my broken heart, and I'm going to praise you with this sorrowful spirit. But I'm going to praise you anyway, because I know that if I praise you, you're going to inhabit my praise, and out of my praise is going to come everything that I have need of. So what do? We simplify. We make it easy by actually, not talking about it, but actually putting God first. Putting God first. Most pastors, when I meet them, or we go to, I do home goings and I meet pastors, I'm older than they are most of the time. But for some reason, they treat me like I'm not. So I let them have their way. And then I do what God told me to do when they get through playing. Why? Because when you seek God and you make him the object of your praise, he'll give you the peace that you need. He'll supply you with the joy that you got to have, and he'll manifest the strength that you need to do the job God's called you to do. Everyone stand. They told me I clock watch too much. But I'm like you. I want to come, praise the Lord, enjoy myself, hear the word, and go home. Right, Rev? So what are we going to do this week? We're going to simplify. And how do we simplify? By putting God first. By seeking first the kingdom of God. And when it talks about the kingdom of God, it's not talking about heaven. It's talking about Christ. John said, behold, for the kingdom of God, it's talking about Jesus. So what you need to do is seek Jesus. Because if you find Jesus, then he said you can cast all your cares upon him. And you can stop carrying that load around. Jesus. That's got you all weighted down, beat up, knocked upside the head. And give it to Jesus. And once you give it to him, don't take it back. Let him keep it. It ain't gonna bother him as much as it's gonna bother you. That's what he came for and died for. That we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. The abundancy of life means that regardless of what you're going through, you can still have the peace and the joy that you need in your life. And it don't have power to separate you from the love of God. God is raising up ministries all over this country. He's using people that never thought would be used. He's picking people out and he's calling them forth. And he's going to use them. But don't you think for one reason, minute, that you're not going to go through something to have the ministry that God has put in your life. The word of God says, to whom much is given, much is required. There's going to be something required of you to have what you have. You want a great anointing, then there's going to be something required. You want to bless people, there's going to be something required of you. You may not like it. Ooh, Lord have mercy. Sister Norma gave me a CD, a DVD. I watch it all the time, and I think about it all the time. Sherry or Arnisa asked me, what are you doing? I said, I'm going fishing. Peter got fed up and tired. And when they said, Peter, we got a minister. Peter said, forget y'all jokers. I'm going fishing. I'm done. I feel like that on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Yeah, Sunday too, bro. But we understand that we've been called and chosen by God. So we still have a work to do regardless of what is going on in our lives or how bad we may feel or what we think or what persecution we are under or however sick we may be. We still have a job to do for the kingdom of God. You're the one that's got to make up in your mind that I'm going to put God first. I'm going to seek. I'm going to strive after him. I'm going to find what I need in God. Because when you find him, everything that you've been looking for all the time, you'll find is already in him. So the blessing becomes ours. Amen. We're going to pray for some folks this morning that need a touch from God. There's things going on in your life that you don't know how to handle, that you haven't been able to deal with, and you really don't know who to talk to about it because most folks, they're not going to understand what you're talking about anyway. Some are going to judge you. Some are going to scorn you. Some are going to ridicule you. Some are going to persecute you. But you need prayer. So that's what we're going to do. If you're one of those people that need prayer, don't hesitate. Come on down and get what you need from God. Hallelujah.